White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt quickly got derailed during today's presser after the media began asking questions about Trump's beef with Tucker Carlson, the current divide in the MAGA fan base, and what Trump's stance on the war is. Now, the presser was made to talk about Trump's immediate domestic agenda, to talk about the bill that is currently stuck in the Senate because it adds to the debt and is a massive redistribution of wealth. But as you'll see, after Karoline Leavitt quickly gives an update and tries to pivot off, she loses control of the meeting because everybody begins to ask questions about Tucker Carlson, about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's start off with her giving an update about Iran, and then we'll go from there.
Now, regarding the ongoing situation in Iran, I know there has been a lot of speculation amongst all of you in the media regarding the president's decision-making and whether or not the United States will be directly involved. In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks."
He did the two-week thing. Donald Trump once again did the two-week thing that he's done with healthcare, that he's done with the war in Ukraine, and except this time he said the negotiations may or may not happen, maybe within the next 2 weeks. This weak indecision coming top-down from our president is the reason this war is escalating in the way it is. Because when you are weak and indecisive, you allow Israel or Netanyahu to control the narrative and to pull us along. Immediately after this, Karoline Leavitt begins to be asked about Tucker Carlson, about Marjorie Taylor Greene. But she didn't just get asked once. She didn't just get asked twice. Almost every single question that followed was about Tucker Carlson and the beef that started.
Like that.
Thank you. To what extent is this two-week delay with Iran the result of interventions by the likes of Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, or the entreaties of European leaders who want a de-escalation?
Look, the president hears all voices across the country, and he makes decisions based on his instincts. And he has always said diplomacy is his first option.
And is he still planning to attend the NATO summit next week?
He is, yes. We will be departing from Washington on Monday morning.
What is this weird flip-flopping? I'm so sorry, but she just said peace is the first option. But 2 days ago, Donald Trump was tweeting, "We know exactly where the Ayatollah is. Unconditional surrender. We could kill the Ayatollah, but we won't. Everybody flee Tehran." What do you mean? What do you mean peace? How could that possibly be diplomacy or peace? Trump doesn't know if a deal is going to be cut. And honestly, I don't think he was influenced by Tucker Carlson. I don't think he was influenced by the MAGA fan base. I genuinely just don't think he knows what to do. I think Donald Trump doesn't know what to do when he's allowing Israel to pull him along. Then another question gets asked about the MAGA civil war. This time, the person asking the question seems to be coming from a kind of far right position and is trying to press Karoline Leavitt. Take a look.
So Rhino warmonger Lindsey Graham, he recently called on the U.S. to go all in.
That's quite the lead to a question.
He started off the question by saying Rhino warmonger Lindsey Graham.
That's
quite the lead to a question.
Right. What's your message to everyday Trump supporters? Not the Tucker Carlsons or other big names, but everyday Trump supporters, grassroots, who voted for President Trump to stop the wars, rejected this in the primary, going into another war with voting against Nikki Haley.
Is she going to give a nuanced answer about how the president has flip-flopped his position, or is she going to give a cult answer? What do you think?
They want to see non-U.S. involvement in this war. What's your message?
Trust in President Trump.
It can't get any more cult than that. Her answer was trust in President Trump.
President Trump has incredible instincts, and President Trump kept America and the world safe in his first term as president in implementing a peace through strength foreign policy agenda. And with respect to Iran, nobody should be surprised by the president's position that Iran absolutely cannot obtain a nuclear weapon. He's been unequivocally clear about this for decades, not just as president, not just as a presidential candidate, but also as a private citizen. In fact,
but you know what's not clear is how close Iran even was, because Netanyahu or, you know, the Israeli intelligence services have differing narratives than U.S. intelligence. The U.S. intelligence said they're pretty far away. Yet Netanyahu and the intelligence beneath him, used the idea that they were very close as a pretext to start this, and Trump is allowing himself to get pulled in. So no, I don't trust the president. No, he doesn't have good instincts. His instincts are to delay everything by 2 weeks and just hope it works out in his favor.
In fact, I have some quotes for you. In 2011, President Trump said, America's primary goal with Iran must be to destroy its nuclear ambitions. We cannot allow this radical regime to acquire a nuclear weapon that they will either use or hand off to terrorists.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is she about to list off a list of quotes of Trump basically proving he's not anti-war and he does want to intervene in the Middle East or in regime changes?
In 2015, the president said the problem is that Iran poses an existential threat to Israel, our Middle Eastern allies, and the United States. And of course, the president has repeated that in his first term as president and his second term as president as well.
Caroline Levitt then gets asked one more time about the Civil War and Tucker Carlson.
Sure.
A few weeks ago, Tucker Carlson reported on a meeting between the president, Mark Levin, and others at the White House. Is there a leak investigation, and can you say who else was in that meeting?
I'm not aware of a leak investigation at this time. I, for one, do not reveal details about the president's private meetings without his permission to do so. But certainly, the president does not like when people leak. He takes that very seriously. This entire administration takes that seriously, and that's why you've seen at agencies some of the cabinet secretaries have been given the authority by the president to let go of staff who are...
You know, we're very concerned about leaks, except for when the Department of Defense secretary... When the defense secretary is leaking our war plans to multiple people in a group chat. We really care about leaks, except the fact that basically everything that happens behind the scene leaks, such as Elon Musk shoulder-checking Besant. You know, the thing is, with the Biden White House, they kept a pretty tight ship. You can have a lot of criticisms of Biden, but there weren't a lot of leaks coming out of the White House. The Trump White House is full of leaks. It's like WikiLeaks investigations after leak after leak after leak. Caroline Levitt is then asked why Trump thinks there's still a chance Iran would even come to the table for a deal when they've pulled out and when Israel essentially humiliated Trump by nuking his deal. Not actually nuking it, but they just blew up his deal.
Within the next 2 weeks.
What makes him think there's still a substantial chance is my question.
I'm not going to get into the reasoning and the rationale. The president believes that, but that's his position, and he will make a decision within the next 2 weeks.
Caroline.
Sure.
Thanks, Caroline. President Trump has said previously in regard to Russia, he's used this phrase about 2 weeks several times in terms of like... We expect like a two-week deadline, and then you give another two-week deadline. How can we be sure that he's going to stick to this one on making a decision on Iran?
Well, in those deadlines, as you've seen in respect to Russia-Ukraine, might I add, these are two very different complicated global conflicts, as you know, that the president inherited from our previous incompetent president in the weakness of the previous administration. And the president has spent a tremendous amount of time and effort cleaning up these crises that were caused by the last administration's just complete dereliction of duty on the world stage and American weakness. Now we have American strength again. With respect to Russia and Ukraine, because of that American strength and the president's leadership, we have seen these two sides engage in direct negotiations. And the last time the president said 2 weeks, you saw Russia and Ukraine have direct negotiations for the first time in years. And so the president is always interested in a diplomatic solution to the problems and the global conflicts in this world. Again, he is a peacemaker in chief. He is the peace through strength president. And so if there's a chance for diplomacy, the president's always going to grab it. But he's not afraid to use strength as well, I will add.
Let me prove to you very quickly that Trump is afraid to use strength. If Trump would have used strength, he could have already actually ended the war with Russia and Ukraine, or at least gotten us very close to a peace deal. What Trump has done is allowed Putin to ghost Zelensky and the United States multiple times on the world stage when they were going to sit down for ceasefire talks. And then, rather than giving Putin any sort of repercussions or yelling at him or increasing sanctions or helping Ukraine, what he does is he removes intelligence and weapon sharing from Ukraine. He says he wants to even lift sanctions on Russia. That's not strength. That's being a weak pushover, and Trump is a weak pushover with all authoritarian leaders because, as Vlad Wexler says, they give him a source of narcissistic supply. When Donald Trump is looking at Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping or somebody with a lot of, you know, executive power, dictatorial power, he views them as an ego boost, as narcissistic supply. And I'll leave it at that. Caroline Levitt is a propagandist, and we will work tirelessly on this channel to push back every single day. We are introducing new faces. We're going to build this to something bigger than MAGA Media could ever imagine. So if you want to join the journey, hit the like button, subscribe. I love you all. I'm grateful for each and every single one of you. You know, I've been meeting a lot of you out in public, and it's been awesome. So I love you all. Peace out.